6-0. That's huge. Welcome, everyone. This is Pam Drennan, and this is the Cosmic Contact Show, coming to you from the RBR Network. We're glad to have you joining us this evening for this wonderful cosmic journey that we're getting ready to take. Anyone can access the show by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Renford Live, or by going to the archives, which is really the on-demand section. And it's available shortly after the show finishes. So if you don't get to hear the show, you can always go into the on-demand section and listen to our guest this evening. Now, if you are not online or you have someone who wants to hear the show, you can call in at 347-838-9142. If you want to ask a question, use the same number, 347-838-9142, and just press your one button, Annie will get you in, the moderator. Well, we have a wonderful guest on the show tonight. Her name is Sheila Baker, and she is a shaman. She's from up here in the Seattle area, and she is the real deal. So you're going to really enjoy her on the show this evening. So if you've got a question, you want to call in, be sure and get online, and we'll let you talk to her. Before I talk to Sheila, though, I want to tell everyone about the RBR Network, and we've been on this journey. Annie and I have gone on 4 years now. It's amazing, and this is almost weekly, having these shows, but it's fun, and we've got to meet some great people and talk to some really neat people and learn a lot ourselves. So this has been a real blessing to have the show for me and Annie, and everybody else that gets to listen in out there. But I want to tell you about the other shows that we have. We have a my show, of course, every Monday at 4:30. All this is actually 4:30 Pacific Coast Time and then 6:30 Central Standard Time. After me, on Tuesday is the I Am Well show. That's at 8 p.m. The Night Search show is at 9:30 p.m. Then Wednesday, the No show is at 7 p.m. And that's after that is the Law of Material Wealth Personal Development Program, which is live at 8. James Renford Powell, and he is the owner of the RBR Network, so he always has some great guests on there. And it all started out with me being his guest, and we just hit it off great, and he loved what I was sharing, what I was about, so he offered me to have my show. So be sure and listen in to him. And then Thursday is the Progressive News Weekly. That's at 5:30. Friday is the Searchers Roadmap show. On Friday also is the Dream Vision. So that's at 1 o'clock. The Dream Vision 7 show is at 3 p.m. This is Central Standard Time. And then Saturday, Soul Town, The Sound of Music, that's at 3 p.m. Sunday is the Dream Vision 7 show again, and that's at 3 p.m. Well, now you have the rundown of all the shows that we have all during the week, so be sure and check us out. But always check me out on Mondays at 4:30, that's Pacific Coast Time, 6:30 Central Standard Time. Okay, well, we've got... let me tell you about our wonderful guest that we have this evening. I'm really excited to have Sheila Baker on the show. I met Sheila in 9, and then we first connected up and really liked her energy then. I didn't get to have a session with her or anything, but I did get to meet her then. She was in Redmond when we met. But anyway, Sheila is a practitioner and teacher of shamanism. She's been doing this since 1997, and she's, because of her love of shamanism and the tarot, it has led her to combine these two powerful modalities and calls it shamanic tarot. Well, of course, but she uses many tools to help the soul's evolution, including the tarot readings, the Akashic records, soul retrieval with aftercare. That's interesting. And then shamanic counseling. And I know you're going to love what she has to share with you this evening. She's writing a book. She's written several. Her latest one is called Journeys of Transformation, and it'll be out in the fall of 2015, so coming up soon. She has an amazing background as a mental health therapist, a trained registered nurse, and holds a master's degree in dance movement therapy. She's been a yoga instructor, psychic leader, and writer for about 40 years. Well, she's amazing, and she did a reading with me not too long ago. We did a tarot shamanic reading. It was wonderful. She was so right on. I loved every bit of it. I was excited after that for sure to get her on the show because I knew that whoever gets in touch with her or gets a reading will just love what she's sharing today. But let's see what she does want to share with us. Let me bring Sheila in now.
Hi, Pam.
Hi, Sheila. Well, welcome to the show, and thank you.
Oh, well, I just want to, first of all, give some gratitude to you for doing this and your commitment for over the years to devote yourself weekly to do something so amazing as to bring these gifts of other people through you and out into the world. It's a marvelous thing that you're doing, and I just have great gratitude for your diligence and for your work. So thank you very much for inviting me.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. Well, I know you've got a lot to share with us this evening, and I guess what I would like for you to talk about is your shamanic work and maybe the soul retrieval with aftercare. That's what kind of piqued my interest, and even the Akashic records and how you work with all this and how you got started on your path.
Oh, I'd love to do that. And first of all, I'd like to call in the directions because I like to work in sacred space, and it kind of puts our guides on alert that we're there and we're available to them. So is that okay with you? I'll just call in the directions.
Please do.
All righty. So we're going to have a little rattling. Spirit guides and allies of the East, the place of dawn and new beginnings, where eagle soars and owl is able to look into the deep, dark woods, we ask that you guide us and teach us and show us the way. Aho. Spirit guides and allies of the South, the place of trust and innocence and childlike playfulness, where coyote frolics and snake keeps her belly low to the ground, but her senses ever aware, and Grandmother Spider shows us how to weave it all together from within. We ask for the good medicine of the South. Aho. Spirit guides and allies of the West, the place of watery fluidity, and all of the creatures that live there, known and some still unknown, the place of great mystery on this planet, and bear medicine that shows us how to walk in isolation and come together at time of desire and co-creation. We ask that you guide us and teach us and show us the way. Aho. Spirit guides and allies of the North, the vast expanse of whiteness, the deep look within time, the time of introspection and hibernation and reflection. We give thanks for the gifts of White Buffalo Calf Pipe Woman. We give thanks for ancestral wisdom and deep knowing. Aho. Sky Father, the place of illumination, the planetary allies, the sun and the moon. We give thanks for support from above. Aho. Earth Mother, upon whom we walk, the place of the two-leggeds, the four-leggeds, the creepy crawlers, the swimmers, the winged ones, the standing people, the trees, and the rock nation. We give thanks for your ability to take that which no longer serves, compost it, and bring it back into sustenance and nurturance. We give thanks for support from below. Aho. Creator, the great hoop of life that binds us all, we give thanks for the ability to spiral into source and bring that which we find there back into illumination. We give thanks for imagination, creation, and manifestation. And most of all, we give thanks for being held. Aho. So, Pam, what that does is it sets the stage for us to put the work that we're doing here away from the mundane world and a little bit of separateness. So we're now in a special place because I've called in the directions. I've called on eagle and owl. I've called on bear. I've called on coyote, and you want to be mindful about doing that. I've called on calf pipe woman. And I've called on Creator above and below. So we're now held in what I kind of think about as a cocoon to do our work in. And you talked a little bit about my early beginnings and how I began on the shamanic path. And long before I knew there was any such thing as shamanism, I had a near-death experience when I was about 5. I bent over on a dock to wash my hands in the water and tumbled in. And it might have been, 10 seconds before somebody hauled me out, or it might have been longer, but it left a really big impression on me. And from that moment on, I was able to see and sense things, not see with the visual eyes so much as the inner third eye and imagination, things that other people didn't or couldn't see. And, for instance, on the drive home, I was in the back seat and my parents were in the front seat, and I could see my brother, who wasn't born until I was 8, but I could see him there. And those kinds of things happened to me. People would tell me about things that are going on in their life, and even as early as being 7 years old, people would tell me what was going on, and I would be able to somehow impart something back and some wisdom, maybe some knowledge. And I started to know this between the time that I was 7 and 12 that if people actually took the information in and began to use it, then things changed in their lives. And if they didn't, then nothing much happened. So it's kind of information without implementation is just more mental, what I call mind frick. It's just more things running around in your brain. So it's important when you get information from your guides or from a teacher that you actually begin to utilize it. And my grandma crossed over when I was about 12, and I just felt like she was sitting on my shoulder just talking in my ear. So I had somebody that I really cared about and that really cared about me who gave me this kind of really useful information. I would go to do something, and she'd be like, "Well, do you really think you want to do that?" So it gives you that little bit of, oh, wait a minute, maybe I should reconsider. So I had guidance really early on, and lots of people do, which is really what I love about working in the spirit realm, is that, we're really not special. And I think that's one of the important things for folks to kind of understand, is that just because someone can do something you don't do or don't believe you're able to do at the moment, doesn't mean that you can't learn. There's no one that cannot learn how to do a shamanic journey. And that's what's beautiful and inspiring to me and keeps me going. So you wanted me to talk about soul retrieval?
Well, I love everything that you're sharing, and especially the part about the near-death experience I myself have had too. So, of course, that changes your life completely, and you're never the same. And people have different things that show up for them when they do go through these type of experiences. So I truly understand that, and thank you for sharing. Yes, I want you to tell me everything that, how you do this, and did you take classes yourself, or did this you just started reading books and figuring it out on your own?
Yeah, that's a great question. So what happened for me is that I always had somebody. I didn't really think about it as somebody, but I always got divine inspiration, and I don't think I could have talked about it like that when I was getting it. But I got, you know, you ought to go and do this. Now you need to go here. Turn left. And then, and I just believe that everyone got the same information that I did. And I was actually studying astrology when I ran into a lovely woman whose name, she's from Whidbey Island, and her name is Sheila Belanger. And she was teaching astrology. The way that she was teaching it was by taking us on a shamanic journey. It's with a monotonous drum beat, and you actually set an intention to go somewhere and experience something in that journey. And while it was happening, while we were studying astrology, there were all these other things that began to happen, and which were, I mean, astrology is fascinating. I love it. I rely on it heavily. And yet there was something more, something a little bit more intriguing than even that, if that's possible. So we asked when these things began to happen, and they seemed important. And she said, well, this is shamanism. So it didn't, you know, I didn't know I needed a drum. I didn't know I could have a drum or that there were even drums available. I didn't know that rattles are important. And, you know, what's the one of the very first gifts that we give babies? We give them rattles. They wake us up. And so I began studying with Sheila, and I didn't read books on purpose because I'm an empath. And so I'm very easily influenced by books, by movies, by sometimes other people's opinions, and isn't that one of the things that catches us all up? But it began to be apparent that not everybody was getting the same information. So as I went along and I realized that some of the challenges I had as a student nurse and some of the misdiagnosis that I got because of the challenges of being an empath and having no one understand that realm, got diagnosed as things. And when I learned about shamanism, I had a whole bunch of aha moments. And as just regular people going through life, there are events such as car accidents, surgeries, marriages, divorces, breakups, something as seemingly insignificant as a five-year-old not getting invited to a birthday party that caused this thing called soul loss. So a piece of our soul, and the way that I like to think about the soul is it's more like an orange with segments than it is an India rubber ball. So a segment fragments off, and it goes into the other world. And if you think about after an auto accident, you know, we're a little scattered, we're hypervigilant, you know, if we let someone else drive, we're kind of nervous while they're doing that, we're not really sleeping. A whole lot of the symptoms of post-traumatic stress are exactly the same as soul loss. So when we have that, there's some disorientation. In psychiatry, they would call it disassociation. And sometimes, most often actually, those soul parts come home again and no intervention is necessary. But sometimes that doesn't happen. People who have long-standing depression, even though they've done the therapy, they've done the work, and still it's, you know, they might get better for a little while, but boom, there they are. They're back in that full-blown depressed state. Those are really good indicators of soul loss. So people like me are able to journey, take a shamanic journey with a monotonous drum beat, and go into the other world and bring home soul parts that are ready at that moment to help. Now, sometimes we go and we think, oh, well, you know, I'll have a soul retrieval and this part will come home. And then what happens is that part doesn't come home. The reason that it doesn't is that there's other soul parts that are ready and willing and able to return, so that they help you get ready for the soul part that you actually have in mind. And part of the process is journeying on your behalf, bringing back the soul part, placing them into your heart chakra and your crown chakra, and then rattling all around you to seal them in. And then the person's work actually begins, because they get to reintroduce this little person or this big person who's been away for a number of years. So you introduce them to your home, you introduce them to whoever it is that you're living with, whatever animals you have, whatever your life is at that moment, and they get reintroduced to that and reintegrated. So that process can take a little while. So when I first started doing it, I was guided, and particularly when I had my first soul retrieval, and I felt a little lost because I didn't have any support after that, didn't have anybody talking to me about what am I supposed to do. So my guides said to me, if you're going to do this work, you need to set up some aftercare for people. So I have 3 sessions after the initial soul retrieval. The initial soul retrieval can take a couple of hours. And then afterwards, I meet with people about 2.5 weeks after that, and then another 3.5 or so weeks after that, and then another 4 weeks after that. So you have about 12 weeks of integration, connection, and me helping you remember to stay on track, because if you come for a soul retrieval on a Saturday afternoon and you're back on Monday, and back in your workaday world, it's easy to forget these little beings who have come home. So it's very much like adopting a child. You know, you wouldn't adopt a child, open the door, shove them in the door, and then go out shopping. You would go, oh, you know, this, here's your bedroom, and here's your toothbrush. It's very, very, very similar to that. That's why I believe in practical shamanism. And that's pretty much the process, soul retrieval, and then three different aftercare sessions over the course of about 12 weeks.
Wow. Well, you know, I totally understand what you're talking about with this soul retrieval and with the aftercare, because when I have done hypnosis with people at times, they, you know, come back later and said, well, you know, once we checked to see if they had spirit entities and we asked them or got them off of them, they felt like something was missing, you know, that they'd been with, had them with, and of course they were. So this is really exciting to hear what you're sharing here. Well, how does the Akashic Records work out?
Oh, well, that's lovely. So I go for what's the oldest thing I can possibly understand, and how can I incorporate that ancient teaching into my work. So a few years ago, I was introduced to the Akashic Records, and actually I had been journeying to the Akashic field for quite a time without really understanding where I was. And because I didn't question, I didn't say, oh, okay, well, where am I? I didn't understand that. So when I first, when I was first introduced to the Akashic Record, I thought, well, why do I need this? I have shamanism. I have my guides. What more could I need? And then a few years went by, and I got a much more healthy respect for the Akashic Records when I was going through some very big physical difficulties. And in the Akasha, and they don't do this very often, but my experience was that they told me that within 6 weeks I could be completely out of pain and I needed to stop being prideful and ask for help. So it hadn't occurred to me that I was being prideful. It hadn't occurred to me that I couldn't just heal this myself. And sure enough, within 6 weeks, I had a hip replacement, I was completely out of pain. And those kinds of things, they get your attention. So at that point, and in the Akashic Records, they also said to me, you know, you can open the records for other people. So I had permission, which we wait a lot of time. We spend a lot of our life waiting for someone to give us permission to do something. So I had permission from the masters, teachers, and loved ones in the Akashic Records to actually begin to facilitate Akashic Record readings for other people. And that was, I think, four years ago. So since then, I've been opening the Akashic Records. And the Akashic Records are every thought, deed, and action, intention, really, that your soul had from its inception to the present and all future possibilities. So it's vast, and everyone, I'm teaching other people to open the Akashic Records for themselves and perhaps for others, what I'm noticing is that there isn't it looks like this, and I go up and I knock on the door, and they open the door, and it's like this. I've noticed that personal experience is different for everyone going into the Akashic field, which is kind of interesting because you'd think if you were going somewhere, if everyone was on the same destination, that it would look the same, but it doesn't. And that, I think, is the beauty of bringing our own personalities and our own perception into the work, is that perhaps there's, you know, if there's 7 billion people on the planet, perhaps there's 7 billion different experience of the Akashic Records. So for me, it's one thing, and for the students that I'm teaching now, it's very different, which I just find fascinating and I really love, because when you introduce someone to something and their experience isn't exactly the same as yours, you get a whole new experience, and it helps to open our eyes up to all of the infinite possibilities that there are. So you can ask what, how, where, and why kinds of questions. When questions are not so good, like I mentioned a few moments ago, that they don't really talk about time, because time is it's not linear like most people think. Oh, it's, you know, it's 5 o'clock, then it'll be 5:01 and 5:02. But perhaps it's not like that. So in the Akashic Records, it's very rare to have them say, you know, well, in 2 weeks this is going to happen. It's not a question. Oftentimes it's, well, when you do this and when you do that. Just like for me, they said, you know, in 6 weeks this can be taken care of, if you stop being proud and if you start asking for help. So the questions, I mean, a lot of information is available in the Akashic field for people. And what's also been happening is that when I'm in the Akashic Records with somebody, they will be talking to the masters, teachers, and loved ones, and then they'll just say, well, we're going to just go over here and do a little healing. And so healing's happening in the Akashic Records, and I wasn't aware of this until I had some folks do readings with me, and then they would come back and they would say, well, you know, you did the Akashic Records on Thursday, and on Tuesday I was scheduled for an MRI, and there was nothing on the MRI. And in the Akashic field, they had a healing. And I wasn't aware that they were going to go get MRIs or CAT scans or any of those kinds of medical things at all. All I knew was they were doing a healing on them. So it's been fascinating for me to watch that not only is there information in the Akashic field, but there is actually healing as well. So it's been so lovely to watch people come and get an Akashic Record and get a healing at the same time. And I'm not sure whether this is something that's new in the Akashic field, whether it's been going on for a long time. It's not something, there are not very many people who actually write about the Akashic records. So there's people who are doing them, but not much writing so far.
Right. And you're right about that. And I have read some about it. Dolores Cannon, she, in her book, Near Death and, you know, Afterlife, wrote a big section in one of her books about the Akashic Records. And it was the first time that I'd really, you know, had an inkling a little bit of how that is. But, you know, when you say, Sheila, that every thought and thing can be whatever we've done, it's in this record. So what is it that, do they take you back to look at something that you've done and say, well, this is what's caused whatever's going on with you now? Is it something like that?
Sometimes it is. Often people want to know about relationships between themselves and another person. So in the Akasha, what will happen is they will say, oh, well, in this other time, in this other dimension, in this other space, however you can conceptualize that, this is what happened, and that is making an influence on your relationship with this person here. You know, if we have a deep connection with somebody, we always want to know, well, why am I deeply connected to this person? So in the Akashic field, they will say, oh, well, such and such happened at such and such a time, and this is how it's playing out now. So it's kind of informational, and it's also heartfelt. Those deep connections have gone on in many times. We talk about it in many, many lifetimes. And so you'll find out that, you know, you had maybe your son or maybe your daughter or maybe your spouse was connected to you. You know, we talk about coming in soul groups. And this is also one of the ways to conceptualize that your soul group is some bunch of buddies that you've connected with over time. And so in the Akashic field, they'll say to you, well, you know, your son was actually your nephew, or was actually your priest, or was actually your something or other else, and in this other time, and this is how it's playing out now. There's healing being done here from that relationship there, and it makes sense to people. You know, I don't have any concept of that. I'm merely a conduit of passing the information through.
Okay. Wow. Well, you know, that does explain a lot about it, and I do know that being an empath like you are and tuned in, then that to be able to tap into these records for people. Okay, well, you know, I've got several people on the line right now, and I still want to talk to you about other things, but let's bring one of the callers in right now, and let's see. Her name is Bianca. Is that okay with you now?
Absolutely. I'd love to do that.
Okay, and she's from New Mexico.
Oh, awesome.
Hi, thanks for taking my phone call.
You're welcome.
So I had a question. It was a career question. And I just recently got licensed. And my goal was to start my own business. And it seems as of late that every time I take a step forward in that direction, something else in my life seems to be falling apart. So I just kind of wanted some insight on what's going on. Should I just stop?
I don't know about the stopping part, but what I will tell you is that we're in a really powerful time just now, and it feels like there's some things that need attending to before you can do that, and when we haven't attended to them, then what will happen is somebody or something kind of gets a little bit tippy, and then we have to attend to that. So I just pulled a tarot card for you as you were speaking, and it's Temperance, and it's Major Arcana. So when I see Major Arcana, I know that divine intervention is playing a part here. And Temperance is all about balance. And what I see in the card is I see an archangel, and he's standing, and he's got a foot in a pond, and another foot he's just on the tippy toe. He's pouring water from one goblet into another. Behind him is a lovely path that goes up to a hill, and there's a big, bright crown over there. So what I would say is if you have spirit guides, power animals, totems, or any other kind of spiritual guidance, tap into that and ask for assistance, because it feels like that's what's needed, and you may have to just hang on a little bit. This is Mercury is going retrograde pretty soon, so it's about finishing up old business before you start new business. And if something is needing tended to, rather than thinking, oh, bummer, now I have to go and take care of this, go, oh, yay, I get to take care of this so it's out of my way, so the pathway is clear. Because in this card, you see a clear pathway. So I would say that you maybe want to go and find the card online and enlarge it, make it in black and white, and color it, because that act makes it your card and personal, and you'll get some insights while you're coloring it. And I know it sounds like a really childish thing to do, but sometimes we need to go back into that childlikeness. And you may notice that something comes up while you're coloring it that is blocking your way. So I would say check out the Temperance card, read some other meanings of it, get it in black and white, color it, and watch the pathway clear. And then just slowly move forward and be mindful of when Mercury is retrograde. And mid-October-ish is when it gets to where there's a pathway cleared.
Okay. And so to look up that card that you pulled, I would just put, did you say the Major Arcana for Temperance?
Yeah, card? It's called Temperance. Okay. And if you just Google Major Arcana Temperance, they'll pop up, and you can have a look. It's number, let me just look here, it's number 14 in the Major Arcana.
Okay, perfect. I will definitely do that. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, thank you. That is so interesting. I love what you shared with her. And I'm right on that with this Mercury retrograde. In fact, I looked it up the other day to see, you know, when it was. I know it was coming up soon. So,
yep.
And we just have to prepare for it when it does show up. Well, let's bring somebody else in. Let's bring in Ibitar. She's from Colorado, and Ibitar gets online a lot. We love to hear her when she's here.
Cool.
Hi, Ibitar.
Hello, ladies. How are you? I'm happy that I was able to get in and ask a question tonight.
Cool. What's your question?
My question is about it's about love. In the past few years, I had been really, really closed, and I didn't even know I was so closed. You know, I kind of put my heart down, and I decided that I was going to open, you know, and allow love to come in. And since I've done that, I seem to have kind of hard to explain. I seem to have a strong connection to someone that I know of, but I don't know, and we've been sort of like dancing in each other's energy field. And what I'm feeling in my heart, I really don't have any any control over it. You know, I'm just allowing the feelings to come through. So that's what my question is about. And he's in a completely different state than I'm in.
In many ways. Yes, I'd say that that was true. So while you were talking, I chose a couple of cards for you. And the first card is the Three of Pentacles. And pentacles are the element of earth, their property, their tangible things. They are, they're things you can put your hands on. The Three of Pentacles is a card where there's a craftsman hard at work and two people. One of them has a blueprint and the other one looks like they belong to the church. They've got a shaved top of their head. And this is saying that there's some accolades, some applause that is being metered out on the behalf of the craftsman. So if you're the craftsperson and you are crafting this, you're actually getting some support for doing it and for moving forward. The other card, because while you were talking, I chose two. The other card is the Wheel of Fortune. And just like in most of our work when we're crafting something, sometimes we feel like, oh, this is really taking off. And then we'll be like, oh, it's kind of slowing down. And you spoke to that in terms of your allowance. So be mindful that there's some practical world things that are going to need to be hammered out. And I don't mean forced or anything like that. But when we're working in the fine detail, and if you think about woodworking, and then you're just, you know, you're almost finished with it. It's almost done. And then one little slip, and it's like, oh, I messed up. So this says be mindful in the practical world that as you're crafting this, you pay attention to the detail because there's going to be some details that might cause for some bumps, some ups and downs. And this says that also it's early on in, I mean, it's a three, and each one of the suits goes all the way to 10. So this is a very new adventure for you. And don't be attached to it being like this or like that. Just allow the flow to happen and know that you have a long way to go. It's got to get all the way to the 10 from a 3. So, you know, craft well as you're doing this and be mindful and patient that when it feels like, oh, I don't know, it's not moving the way I want it to or fast enough, that you just take a breath and go, you know, it's almost like it's out of your hands and let God do the work.
Okay.
That's a good answer.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling in.
You're welcome.
All right. Good luck on that, Avatar. Interesting. Okay, well, let's just move on. We've got somebody else on the show. Am I missing someone here? Here we go. I saw someone else while we're answering. Her name is Shelley.
Okay, super. Hi, Shelley.
Hi, Shelley. Hello?
Pam?
Yes.
I couldn't get her to... I wasn't able to hear her very well. My screen's kind of gotten messed up. Do you see a Patty on there? Do you see 111?
Yes,
I don't
Patty
see her. It looks like she... Okay, bring
okay.
Patty in.
Oh, wait a minute. I don't think that's on there either. I think Patty dropped off. Well, that's okay. We've got enough for right now. Maybe Shelley will get back
in. Okay, I'm going to take her off for the moment, okay?
Yeah. All right. Well, Sheila, it's back to me and you right now.
All righty. That's a good duo.
Really? Well, we're trying to get with that man, and if you can't make the contact. But we had several people that have called in. There are so many people in the chat room. I look to see there. So a lot of people are listening in today because they really want to hear what you have to say. And, again, if you would like to get in touch with Sheila, you can go to www.sheila, it's spelled S-H-I-E-L-A, Baker, B-A-K-E-R.com. And there's a contact phone number. Is that the one that you want them to use, the 206 number?
Yes,
206-903-9404. Okay. Well, and be sure and check out her website. She's got some neat, got a great website. Okay, we've got somebody else online. Let's bring Diana in, because we only got about 14 minutes left with the show. So
This
is Diana. I know, honey. Did it go fast?
Yeah.
Diana from Florida. Hi, Diana.
Oh, wow, Diana from Florida. That's awesome. We're on opposite sides. What can I do for you today?
Hi.
Hi.
This is Diana. We're on opposite sides of what, United States? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm down south, southwest. So I'd like to know if you know more about this Jupiter going into Virgo. I have Virgo rising, and Jupiter's supposed to be in Virgo for a year. So that's my first house, Virgo rising.
Oh, well, I can tell you a little bit because astrology is not my forte. But Jupiter is about expansion and questing and not being small any longer. And Virgo is about the right structure to do it in. And, you know, if we're expanding and not playing small, and we do it inside of a container, then we're going to feel much more comfortable and much, much easier about the expansion. Most people, if you say, well, let's go on a quest and just expand, they start to get nervous. And the beauty of Virgo is that it says, no, no, there's no need to be nervous about this. We're going to do it like this, and I'm going to give you a structure to do it in. Do you have something in particular that you are either reaching out for or you're already in, but you want it to get bigger?
Well, there's a lot. So could you draw me a card? I think if you draw me a card, that'll tell us more about what the structure is.
The card that came is the Knight of Wands. And so I'm going to describe this so people get it. So it's a lovely knight with a great plumage. He's holding a wand. And even though the wand is cut, it still has lots of new growth on it. The horse is totally ready to go and is like not bucking, but it's like, okay, ready. And underneath are three pyramids. Those are the pyramids of the body, mind, and spirit. So your quest, if you haven't already set out in a direction, then look for something that brings the body, mind, and spirit together, because wands are passion and fire and drive, but they're also connection to the divine. So it sounds like you're questing for something that's going to be fulfilling for you in a way that you bring those three things together. And, you know, just like the pyramids and just like the three things. So do you have something like that? Are you working on a program that you're putting together or a class that you're going to teach, or are you ready to do that kind of thing?
Oh, I'm ready for it all. I've been board certified holistic since 2000 and a naturopathic doctor, and just nothing, you know, the fact that people just downright don't believe and don't want to pay is what held me back. But I think that now what you're saying with the expansion and the right structure, I think I'm going to pull this body, mind, spirit thing through with my sword, with my wand. I'm going to get it there. People need to believe, you know, that's my thing. They want what insurance wants to pay for. I mean, get over it already. Don't you want to be whole? Or do you want to be taken apart?
Thank you.
Thank you for letting me get that through. So now
yeah,
I know.
Well,
my
and here's the other thing.
Is,
you're
so
passionate about it. And so where there's
I've been passionate about it for so long. Let's wake up. So I got to have the right structure to fit the expansion.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Sometimes what works is doing a presentation that people can come to that they don't have to pay for, but they get information. And then you can offer.
I've done a lot of those.
You can.
I've done a lot of those, and then they come back and they'll say, oh, my husband won't let me pay. Could you do this again? Yeah, I've done a lot of the freebies.
Yeah, well, it's not about doing a freebie. It's about doing a presentation and then setting up consultations from the presentation so that you do your presenting, and then you say, I'm available for consultation, and then you do the consultation, but then you set them up with, 10 sessions or 2 sessions or whatever it is that's available. Now, we're very fortunate out here where Pam and I are because we are, we're in the hotbed of people taking their funds away from the traditional way and putting them into alternative things. And so, it's going to come. Rest assured that that's going to happen. But, also think about your location. Are you actually in the right place?
Oh, I know I'm due for a move. I was brought back here to take care of my daughter. That's been about a year and a half. So I'm ready to go to my right location.
Well, you've got a horse and you're about to gallop off. So
mm-hmm. I'm ready. My daughter's stable now. Her husband died and she lost everything. So she's with her father now. And now I can probably be free again. I just got to find somewhere to give the cat to.
Awesome.
Anybody want a cat? If I can give the old cat a home, I'm free. Where are you all located where people actually believe in alternative medicine?
We're in Washington State.
Oh, yes. When I was in, I stayed with a friend in northern Idaho, and we went over to Washington quite a bit. Oh, yeah. It's great up there. I would love it up there. I actually did love California. It's just that, California has a whole bunch of it there, but I'm not so sure if California is going to be surviving.
It sounds like you're about ready to gallop off. So just,
mm-hmm.
just
and
be mine.
That was wonderful, too.
Yeah.
I'll
well,
be up
good
there
luck.
Someday. I'll Great. Call you again and say, guess what? I'm your neighbor.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Shoot
for
me
the
an
show.
Email.
Thanks
Let me know. Cool.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling in, Diana. Annie, do we still have this other lady on the show that would like to talk? We have time for one more call.
Well, it's Shelley, and she her mic is messing up. Let's try to bring her in again and see if we can get her one more time.
All right.
Okay.
Third time. It's a charm.
Shelley? Can you hear us?
Hi.
Oh, she's cutting out a lot.
Yeah, we're not going to be able to hear.
We'll have to call back in another time. Well, that's all right. Well, that's good. Well, we had just the best show ever. I've loved all the information. And speaking of the last guest, when she was talking, Sheila, okay, now I have... my moon is in Virgo. How is Jupiter going to affect that for me?
Jupiter's affecting because it is going to be in a certain sign for a certain length of time. And regardless of whether you have Virgo anywhere or believe you have Virgo anywhere in your chart, when a planet goes into a sign for a length of time, it affects everyone. You know, we're about to go Mercury retrograde, and I don't think that, don't panic. Just be mindful of your speech. Take your speech inside first before you drop it out into the world. And so whenever a planet goes into a sign and is there for any length of time, it affects everyone. And there's a couple of great places that you can get information. There's a wonderful astrologer out of Canada. Her name is Georgia Nichols, N-I-C-H-O-L-S. And then there's Free Will Astrology with Rob Bresny, and that's B-R-E-Z-N-Y. I don't think there's an E in there, but if you put it in, Google will figure it out for you. And both of them are really good and really practical, and they make you think about things. So I'm not a good source. I'm a good source, but I'm not a great source about that kind of thing. But just be mindful that Jupiter expanding, and if you got Moon in Virgo, yes, it's definitely going to affect you. And on the emotional side, because Moon is all about the emotions, it's about water, it's about coming in and going out regularly. And so, yeah, this will be powerful for everyone. There will be no one on the planet who isn't affected, whether they're conscious of it or not.
Okay. Well, that's good to know, because, you know, I don't know why I thought it just has to be the sun sign. Of course, you can have your rising can be Virgo, your moon, or whatever. I'm sure that more that it is.
But and certain houses of the 12 houses can be in
right.
a certain sign. And so, yeah, all of the planets and all of the signs have an effect on us. And thank heavens they do. And thank heavens
yes.
that we're enough to pay attention to that kind of stuff now. You know, we've come up to a nice place where we're influenced by a whole number of things, including shamanism and the Akashic Records. And it's because so many of us have shown up on the planet and done the work that everyone's going to benefit now.
Yes.
Yes.
And we're here. So we can
do this work. And yes, and I was going to say, and thank you for doing the work of getting the word out to people.
Yes, and well, we're all in this together, so we know that.
Much.
Well, yes, and I'm thrilled to live up here in the Great Northwest where people are open-minded and I can share the things that I've been interested in for years.
Yeah.
Thank you for being on the show today, and we've got a couple minutes left. Now, do you have any parting words, anything you want to share before we end this evening?
Well, one of the things that I'd love for people to think about is how to be lighthearted and how to turn away from all of the trauma drama that's going on and their own trauma drama, and just take a breath and realize that all that you're capable of doing is taking the next baby step forward. And once you've done that, just turn around and have a look at how far you've come. So often we are reaching out in front of us without looking back and going, oh my goodness, I'm already half the way there. And people are doing amazing things just now, whether they're actually aware of it or not. Even just, even just listening to a radio show opens up your heart. And when you can begin to live from a place of opening your heart, first of all, to yourself and then everyone else, this is how we're going to affect the world, is that, you know, one little baby step at a time, one little I love you at a time. And always start your morning with five things that you love about your body, five things you love about your work, and five things that you love about your future. And your life will change.
I agree with that 100%. Thank you so much for being on the show this evening.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. I've had a lovely time.
Well, we'll do this again in the future. Absolutely. Want to have you back again.
Okay
everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Be sure and tune in next Monday for the show. Same time, 4:30. That is Pacific Coast time to the Cosmic Contact Show. And we appreciate you. Annie, would you like to say good evening?
Yes, and what a great show, Sheila. Thank you so much for coming on. And Shelley, she wrote us in the chat room. That's who we were trying to get in. She's actually Skyping in from Canada. So we want to thank her.
I'm Canadian.
Yes. We want to thank her for calling in. So everybody, I'd be happy to answer her question
if you can figure out how to get it to me.
Okay. Maybe give out your contact information one more time for Shelley.
Sure. So it's Sheila Baker, and it's S-H-I-E-L-A. My grandma was a grammar school teacher, so it's I before E. So SheilaBaker.com, or you can call me at 206-903-9404. Blessings.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Everyone,
have a great week.
Have a great week.
You too.
Hey, thanks.